Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today we're talking about art and we're also talking about Japan. So I guess if we're talking about art and we're talking about Japan, well, then we are talking about Japanese art, or more specifically, a more specific form of Japanese art, something called ukiyo-e. Hope I said that right. Japanese is not my forte, but this is a kind of, I guess, sort of woodblock print from Japan. It's very famous, and a lot of times, if you see these pictures, the first thing you think about is good old Japan.
Yeah, Tom used kind of a fun term there, forte. If something's your forte, it's kind of what you're good at. He said, of course, the opposite. It's not my forte. Forte is actually a musical term, which means loud, to sing loud. But we do use it to talk about what we're good at. It's not my forte. It is my forte. I'm great at it. I'm not good at this stuff. I don't know a lot about Japanese culture. And so in this particular magazine edition, we're going to have a couple of articles about Japanese culture, which will be fun. But first, we're going to take a look at ukiyo-e. Is that how you say it?
You're asking me. I'm an American. It's not my native language.
You've studied this
a little bit, but ukiyo-e is my closest educated guess.
Ukiyo-e.
So, yeah, let's get to it here. As non-native speakers here, we're going to talk about the contents of today's lesson after we read it. An elegantly adorned geisha seems to dance across a scroll as she admires the pink blooms of a cherry tree. The image's fine detail, sharp lines, and layered colors fill you with awe as you wonder about its history. It's these characteristics that make it a classic example of ukiyo-e, a traditional style of Japanese art. This art form, seen in paintings and on woodblock prints, celebrates the delights of the nation's Edo period, beauty, nature, and passion. Literally meaning pictures of the floating world, ukiyo-e depicts the historic society's drift toward these earthly pleasures. Dating back to the late 17th century, ukiyo-e flourished as Japan experienced rapid economic growth. The country's development allowed rich merchants to indulge in new luxuries, including time with geishas and at tea houses. Cultural forms of entertainment such as kabuki theater and sumo wrestling also became highly valued. By capturing people's pursuit of these pleasures, ukiyo-e successfully portrays the spirit of the time. When one of these elaborate artworks is produced as a print, it takes a team of talented artists. To start, an artist called the eshi creates a detailed design, which another, the horishi, then painstakingly carves into a wooden block. The next role is the surishis. This artist prints the carved woodblock onto paper. Following the eshi's directions, the surishi must take care to print it with the intended eye-catching colors. Afterward, it's ready to be published by the hanmoto, the creative director, who likely chose the artwork's theme in the first place. While this time-intensive process may seem convoluted, the finished product is worth all the work. A final ukiyo-e print is a vivid representation of the lives and lusts that marked the Edo period's changing society.
Okay, guys, we're going to get started with our unit here on art, Japanese art. It's a form of art I've never heard of before, and it's kind of fun to learn about new things. So here we go. It's called ukiyo-e, and it's a Japanese art that is quite complicated or complex, you could say. We have a description here in the first paragraph, so let's take a look at that. We have an elegantly adorned geisha. Now, if you're adorned, it means you're dressed up. Someone's made you look beautiful. If you adorn your hair, ladies, you might put ribbons in there or a barrette or some sort of piece of jewelry, perhaps, to make your hairstyle look even prettier so you can adorn yourself. Here's a geisha that's been adorned. So she looks elegant, very classy. She doesn't look cheap. She looks classy. Elegant means they probably have spent some money and they move in an elegant way as well. A geisha here is a Japanese hostess who's trained to entertain men, making polite conversation with them or dance for them or sing to them. They're not prostitutes, which I grew up thinking a geisha was a prostitute, but no, they're supposed to be trained in all of the beautiful arts that can entertain men. So in some ways it's a little weird, I think, because they're just entertaining men. But that's what they were brought up to do. And most of the geishas that you see are quite beautiful as well.
Yep, they're dressed in kimonos and they've got the white face and their hair is pinned back and stuff like that. You probably know what we are talking about. And of course, a lot of paintings in the Far East here in China and Japan are presented on scrolls, which are kind of long, and they roll up. That's what a scroll is. It rolls up into like a tube or something like that. So, of course, a lot of works of calligraphy, for example, are done on scrolls, or at least on the paper first, and then they're mounted on scrolls for transportation or for display or whatever. So, yes, that's where you're going to see this kind of painting on a scroll. And, of course, this geisha is admiring the pink blooms of a cherry tree. Cherry, of course, is the sakura tree, as you're all familiar with. Of course, you've got them here in Taiwan. Ali Shan is most famous for them, but they're in other places as well. And the flowers that come out of them are called blooms here, but we more often say blossoms. Cherry blossoms is what you want to see, like, in February.
Right. They're quite beautiful. Now, the image is fine detail. Fine here just means very precise, very exact. It's not just sloppy strokes that you see. It's very careful. There's a lot of detail, sharp lines. So again, very exact, very strict. It's not like a little kid taking a crayon and, you know, drawing something. It's very precise. And they've got layered colors. So there's one color and then another color on top of that, layered colors, fill you with awe as you wonder about its history. This word awe is the same sound we make if a doctor says, open your mouth and say, ah. Awe just means you've got this feeling of wonder and you can't believe something or something's really shocking or surprising. Wow, that kind of awe. And you're wondering about its history. Where did it come from? What type of art is this? You've probably never seen it before if you're someone like me. I've actually never seen an ukiyo-e piece of artwork in my life. I'd like to see one up close and personal.
Yeah, I'm sure they got them in museums all over the place over in Japan. Even here in Taiwan, they probably have exhibitions from time to time. Mm. And, of course, as you said, it's a classic example of ukiyo-e, which is this traditional style of Japanese painting. And this art form seen in paintings and on woodblock prints celebrates the delights of the nation's Edo period, beauty, nature, and passion. So Edo, of course, is a Jianghu in Chinese. That was a historical period in Japan there. And this art form can be seen in paintings, as we've described there, with the detailed lines and the layered colors and stuff. But you can also see this art form on woodblock prints. You take a piece of wood and you carve out spaces and then you print it onto a piece of paper. That, of course, is a common kind of art form in Chinese art as well. If you think about the Edvard Munch painting The Scream, it was a painting and it was also a woodblock. I think there were prints of that as well. So in this art form, of course, you've got both forms. You've got paintings and woodblock prints. And, of course, we're celebrating the nation's Edo period, which had the characteristics of beauty, nature, and passion. Now, let's look at this word in the next sentence. It says literally, literally meaning pictures of the floating world. Ukiyo-e depicts the historic society's drift toward these earthly pleasures. Now, first of all, we've got literally. That's an adverb. That means you're actually saying something exactly the way you mean it. You're not exaggerating. If you go to a party and you say, hey, there are literally 1,000 people here, you're not just saying there's 1,000 people here to mean that it's just a lot of people. No, you actually mean that there are 1,000 people here. 1,000 people, you can count them. Literally.
Yeah, the opposite of that you will see in writing would be figuratively. So figuratively isn't literally, but literally is exactly what follows with those words. They're not using those words to describe something in a way or to exaggerate, as Tom said. It's actually what it means. So it really does mean pictures of the floating world. Ukiyo-e depicts the historic society's drift toward these earthly pleasures. If you depict something, guys, you represent it, maybe by a drawing. An artist can represent something by putting that image on a painting or maybe some other art form. If you're an actor, you can depict somebody on stage or on film by pretending you're that person, by acting and portraying that person. You're depicting them. So this depicts or shows, represents the historic society's drift toward these earthly pleasures. If you drift towards something, you're kind of just floating on the air. A lot of times if you have a balloon and you let it go, it will drift for a while in the breeze. Eventually it comes down to earth because it loses its air. But it will drift for a while. There's no engine behind it. If you're drifting toward pleasures, it's probably meaning, you know, people were taking part in these kind of pleasures and they just wanted to have that represented for people to see what that period of time was like. You know, we didn't live back then, so we need these representations to kind of imagine what the Edo period was actually like back then. Earthly pleasures, of course, would represent people enjoying food and love and the partying, that kind of thing. Less religious-type pleasures. These are more things that your body would enjoy.
Yeah, it seems like they're getting back to nature here during the Edo period of Japanese history. And we'll continue talking about the Edo period in just a second, but right now we're going to stop and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要介绍的主题呢是日本的版画艺术浮世绘。首先来看到第一段的第二个句子提到 The images, fine detail, sharp lines, and layered colors fill you with awe as you wonder about its history. 在这里提到了这个呢日本的浮世绘它的特色呢就是有着非常精致的制作然后锐利的线条以及 layered colors 层层堆叠的色彩都会 fill you with awe awe 在这里呢原本就有敬畏的意思所以如果说 fill somebody with awe 就是指让某人非常的敬畏的意思当然你可以说很敬畏的去看或者是听我们都可以说 to watch or to listen in awe 后面的句子提到 It's these characteristics that make it a classic example of ukiyo-e 在这里呢提到的就是因为这样的特质而造就了呢它是浮世绘的一个典型的例子后面再补充说明浮世绘 A traditional style of Japanese art 它是一种传统的日本艺术风格我们要请同学们把这几个字划线画下来就是 it's 点点点 that 在这里是一个分裂句的句型有强调的作用举例来说原本是一句很普通的句子说 John broke the vase yesterday John 昨天打破了花瓶如果你想要强调的是就是约翰他把花瓶打破了你就可以说 It was John that broke the vase yesterday 这种句型呢是分裂句是有强调说明的作用接着第一段的最后一句提到 Literally meaning pictures of the floating world Ukiyo-e depicts the historic society's drift toward these earthly pleasures 这里的 literally 呢，就是副词解释成为逐字底或者是照字面意思去解释的。所以如果你看到日文的浮世绘呢，直接翻就是解释成为 pictures of the floating world， 浮世的画像，它描绘的呢就是古代的社会逐渐陷入这种世俗乐世的趋势。在这里动词 depict 有描画或者是描述的意思。举个例子来说，这本书把它描写成为一个不太讨人喜欢的人，你就可以说 The book depicts him as a rather unpleasant character.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Let us now continue with our lesson. Thank you very much for that explanation there, Chinese teacher. So again, today we're talking about ukiyo-e, which is a traditional style of Japanese art, as we described in the first part of our lesson. Now, let's get our history lesson here of the Edo period. Dating back to the late 17th century, which would be the late 1600s,Ukiyo-e flourished as Japan experienced rapid economic growth. So people in Japan at that time were getting richer. They were getting richer because of that economic growth. And so this particular art form flourished, which means it was able to develop and grow in a very lively way. Lots of people were very interested in it. And it was all the rage, as we say. People were rich and they had some extra cash to spend. So they went to these museums to check this stuff out. And they were able to pay those artists to produce it.
Mm.
And the country's development allowed rich merchants to indulge in new luxuries, including time with geishas and at tea houses. So as I said, yes, because of economic growth, because of the development, rich people, rich merchants...people who owned businesses could indulge in these new luxuries. They could treat themselves to these pleasures. Luxuries, of course, are pleasures that we don't really need to survive, but if we're rich enough to afford them, hey, we enjoy them, like furs and perfume and stuff like that. Those are luxuries. And one of the luxuries that they enjoyed was spending time with geishas.And they could spend time at tea houses. Of course, as you know, tea culture in Japan is highly developed. But, of course, the people also enjoyed entertainment. So cultural forms of entertainment, such as kabuki theater and sumo wrestling, also became highly valued. Kabuki, of course, is go-wu-ji, I think, in Mandarin there. And sumo wrestling, you know, those big fat guys that try to push each other.
Who wear diapers.
Exactly. They try to push each other out of the ring.
Yeah.
And so that's when those things became popular. And by capturing people's pursuit of these pleasures, ukiyo-e successfully portrays the spirit of the time. So if you want to know all about the Edo period, check out the ukiyo-e paintings and you'll get the idea.
Right. So you can see kind of what it was like back then. That's fun. By capturing people's pursuit of these pleasures, ukiyo-e successfully portrays the spirit of the time. It's kind of nice to look back in history and kind of get a feel for what it was like perhaps living back then. And that's what they're hoping you'll get with this. So when one of these elaborate artworks is produced as a print, it takes a team of talented artists. It's not just one person or one artist that can produce this type of artwork. So here's the process our writer has written out. To start, you've got an artist who's called the Eshi, and this person is...The designer of this piece of artwork, you could say, they create a detailed design. And then it moves on to another artist called a horishi. And this artist painstakingly carves the design into a wooden block. If you do something painstakingly, anytime you see that word, guys, you know they're taking a lot of effort. It's not easy. They're really trying really hard to make something pretty much perfect. So they take a lot of time to carve the design into a wooden block. Then it moves on to the next artist, who's called a Tsurushi. And they are in charge of printing that onto paper. So they take that carved wood block and they press it onto paper, and that's when the print appears of this piece of artwork or the design. So that's kind of the process that you have here. And all of these artists have their own Japanese titles, their names. And they don't mean anything to me because I don't speak Japanese. But maybe those of you out there who are into Japanese see sort of why they have these particular names or titles. After it actually gets printed onto the paper, what happens then, Tom?
Well, again, we've got the eshi giving directions. So following the eshi's directions, the surishi must take care to print it with the intended eye-catching colors. So it's not just a simple matter of slapping some ink on the wood block and then just pressing it against the paper like you would with a stamp or something like that. No, it's got to be printed with these colors. It probably is a long process that takes years of training. And so, yes, the eshi had some intended colors to intend. Means that's what you meant to do. And so the eshi had this idea. The eshi is supervising the surishi. You got to print it this way. We need to have these exact shades of colors.
Huh.
So do as I tell you. Do as I intend. And they're going to be eye-catching colors, colors that capture people's attention.
Yeah, it sounds like the eshi is actually the one who makes...who actually produces that design and makes the choices of colors. So the other guys who follow are probably those who put that design into action, you could say. So, yeah, I can see why the eshi would get involved and make sure that the right colors are chosen. Afterward, it's ready to be published by the Hanmoto. And this guy is actually the boss, the guy in charge. He's the creative director who likely chose the artwork's theme in the first place.Yeah, if you're, for example, in an advertising agency, the creative director is the boss of all the talent below, and he makes the decisions on what he'd like. He gives them themes and then tells them to go get something produced and then bring it back, and he decides if he likes it. Same kind of thing here in Japan. This Hanmoto is the one who finally says, yeah, I think this is good, or no, go back again and try from the start. While this time-intensive process may seem convoluted, the finished product is worth all the work. If something's intensive, it just means it takes a lot of concentration and effort. Typically, if something's intensive, it's done in a short amount of time. For example, when I first got back to Taiwan, I took an intensive course in Mandarin at the Guoyu Zhongqin at Shida. And instead of going to school 1 hour or 2 hours a day, I went to a Chinese class 3 hours a day and had a lot more homework because I got through the whole book and the other classes were just moving more slowly. So if you take an intensive course, guys, or you do something that's described as being intensive, get ready to work hard and work fast because you usually don't have as much time. So this was a time intensive process. So it took a lot of time, and it may have seemed convoluted or kind of mixed up to other people. It didn't seem like it was just a simple step-by-step process. Convoluted, if you wrote a convoluted sentence in your English class, it just means your sentence is all messed up and mixed up, and you probably need to start again to write something that's more simple to understand. But actually, it's not so convoluted. The finished product is all worth that extra work that they put into it. It sounds like it takes a lot of work.
Yep, to us regular people, it may seem convoluted or unnecessarily complicated, but if you know something about this, you will understand that all this is necessary. So, indeed, the finished product is worth all that work that those people put into it.
Yeah, I wanted to mention we'll often use labor intensive as a way to describe something. So, instead of time intensive, labor intensive means it takes a lot of labor orhard work, not brain power so much, but actually using your hands and body. It's very labor intensive.
Right. So everybody specializes in a different aspect of producing the painting. And a final ukiyo-e print is a vivid representation of the lives and lusts that marks the Edo period's changing society. So if you see that final print That is a vivid, very lively representation of the lives and lusts of the people of that time. Representation is just something that stands for something. So if you're looking for something that sort of will tell us about that period of history, hey, check out these ukiyo-e prints and they'll be a fine representation of the lives that the people were living at that time. And we're also using the word lust here, which usually means sexual desire. And I think that's probably a reference to going to the tea shops and visiting the geishas and stuff like that because, you know, rich people have a lot of time on their hands and those are the things that they do. And, of course, the society at the time was changing a lot. So, yes, those prints can tell us a lot about the history of ancient Japan.
They sure can, guys. Right now we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher and then we'll be back to sign off.
第二段的第一个句子提到 Dating back to the late 17th century, ukiyo-e flourished as Japan experienced rapid economic growth. 其实呢，浮世绘可以追溯到西元17世纪的晚期。在那个时候呢，日本其实经历的是快速的经济成长，而浮世绘也就开始蓬勃发展。Flourish 指的是事业等的繁荣跟兴盛。His business is flourishing 指的就是他的生意非常的兴隆。第二段的最后一句提到 By capturing people's pursuit of these pleasures, ukiyo-e successfully portrays the spirit of the time.中间提到呢，因为国家的经济发展，所以有一些商人沉迷于一些奢侈的享受，所以就借由捕捉 capturing 捕捉呢，刻画人们对于这些乐事的追求。在这里的乐事，我们用 pleasure 这里当作名词，而浮世绘也就成功的描绘了这个时代的精神。接着我们来看到第三段，最主要是描述浮世绘呢是经由画师、雕版师、刷版师以及刊行者，然后呢来一步一步的慢慢的完成的作品。在这一段的最后一句提到的 intensive 解释成为密集的，所以如果说是 time intensive process 表示呢它的这个过程是非常的费时，也许这样子费时的过程看起来非常的复杂难解，但是呢这个成品 the finished product 是值得你耗费这些心力的。后面的句子提到 A final ukiyo-e print is a vivid representation of the lives and lusts that marked the Edo period's changing society. 那么最后的一个浮世绘的版画呢，它的栩栩如生呢，正可以代表着江户时代变化中社会的一些特征。而它的特征就是 lives and lusts, 生活以及色欲。在这里我们可以来看一下 representation 这个字在这里当作名词就解释成为表现跟表示的意思。OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
Okay, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.